We're on.
Microphones are on.
Thank you. All right. Good morning. Convene the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And stand up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, sir.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us here today to conduct business of the county. Truly, it's an important thing that all of our citizens need to be aware of the work of our Board of Supervisors. We're grateful for all that they do. We thank you for the workers of the county that support everything that's going on. And Father, I just want to pray also for the family members of our county workers. Many times there's issues and difficulties. I just pray for strength for them, encouragement during difficult times. And Father, may we all find blessings in our everyday life. Thank you for the friends that encourage us. Thank you for the work that keeps us occupied and our minds sharp and moving forward. And truly, Father, we're grateful for everything you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wendy, roll call.
Ready. The board is only meeting as the Board of Supervisors today. There are no other entities on the agenda. Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Kupsa.
Here.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
And Supervisor Hall.
Present.
Thank you much.
All right. Item number four, presentations from the public. This time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'd allow 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments, and please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I don't have any blue cards.
We do have one online.
In a minute. Who's online?
Unknown user.
Good morning.
1 second.
It's your time to speak.
Unknown user, your mic should be disabled or enabled.
Good morning.
Hello, my name is Gore Arbison. I live in Gold Lake, and I believe that we need to get all the facts out of this county.
Cut it.
That's all.
Cut it.
Cutting it.
Thank
you. Yeah. Inappropriate.
Yeah, we don't tolerate that kind of stuff. So I have one speaker, I think, in-house here.
Good morning, everyone, and again, thank you for all that you're doing for this county and this community. My name is Uri Driscoll. I'm a resident of McLeod. The issue I'd like to bring up and maybe get some help from county staff or whoever would be appropriate. Our community is served by a service district, and part of that service has been historically access to a greenway site, which helps the community deliver their waste, lawn clippings, tree trimmings, etc. It's been very, very valuable to the community, keeping it a very nice, clean community. However, recently, without a board decision, there was a severe restriction in access to this facility, which has caused hardship among their senior citizens, some lower-income folks that would now have to haul it over to Mount Shasta at additional expense, and especially for some of the landscapers that service that community as well. Having that access severely curtailed has caused some problems. An argument coming from the district is that it was never a legal access or never a legal service, which doesn't make sense to me and into most of the community either. So I have some documents here that show that the service, the Greenway service, was a direct connection to the refuse fees that we've been paying. That also takes care of garbage collection, which happens every week. So basically, we are being denied a service, or severely limited a service, that we have paid for historically, and without a reduction in our rates. We also don't know where the fees that had traditionally gone to the community's green waste access and the public facility, we don't know where that money is going. I have attempted to, including yesterday, try to solve this matter in-house, but I think we need some help. We need some other people asking some questions about why this service is no longer available, and it's causing the hardship that it is. So anyway, I do have 7 copies of a summary of some of these comments that I made today, and some, you know, basic information, including correspondence with their CFO, which confirms that it was, that green waste has always been a part of our refuse thing, and some other documents that should help. And my ask basically is at the end of this, you know, this handout or this pack of documents I have, is just a few questions that the county may consider asking. Maybe there's a few more questions that will come up. But I think that letting them know that there's some other eyes on this, I think would be helpful, and just asking some questions and getting this so that we can hopefully get our green waste access back. It really helps the community keep it clean, keep it fire safe, and just, you know, help out people with limited incomes, and especially some of the senior citizens. So anyways, I'm not sure where would you...
I'll take those, okay. But thank, if you'd like to, please fill out a blue card for us for our...
Okay,
file. That'd be great.
I'd be happy to do that. And thank you for your time.
Definitely, thank you. And I'm sure your supervisor will be contacting you.
Okay.
Anyone else in house? Public comment.
You're the chair.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place to ask. But to council, with regard to the PRA request on the data center that we're now jumping through the hoops for, how do we do a PR request on a project that does not exist?
All the communications that regarding all the communications prior to this that you've received from anyone will need to have. It does not matter if it is an active project or not. It's just a matter of inquiry whether or not we receive communications.
Would that entail all the emails I've gotten against data centers?
Unfortunately, yes.
I don't keep track of how many calls, but I can tell you I had an excess of X.
Okay. And we can acquire those, and I can speak to you about that later, about how we can acquire that information from you as easy as possible.
I don't think the PRA request, Supervisor Gonzalez, if I can interject here, is regarding communication we have regarding it. It's just all I've gotten on it is people against a data center.
And so we'll have to determine what we can and cannot release on that. We just need to, at this point, try to build it.
Okay.
But I'll be in touch with you individually about that if you have.
So we're going to go down, I mean, we've been down this path before on projects, and I know it's intense. I know that it's hundreds of hours, tens of thousands of dollars. I'm just a bit set aback by no project, and yet we have to jump through the hoop of, you know, the cost to the county and to the taxpayers for something that doesn't even exist. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Seeing no further public comment?
Showing that online.
Okay. Move on to consent agenda, item 5, wishes of the board.
I'd like to pull 5, N is in Nancy.
Thank you.
Move to approve the remainder.
Second.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hall?
Aye. Item N.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is housing for who, or what's transpiring here? I know that you've used motels locally for housing, and is that what this is occurring here as well?
Good morning, Sarah Clyde, Health and Human Services. This is actually a house that is owned by one of the motel owners, and so we do housing, we do longer-term housing in several houses in the community. So we use some of them for diversion. Our diversion clients are housed. If they come into the diversion program unhoused, and then we also house people, they hold individual leases with the property owner, but if there's a gap, we pay, you know, that difference to keep them housed. So they're all behavioral health clients in various programs. We're really trying to get away from the hotel business just because it's so expensive, and so this is a much cheaper option. And so we work with those people to move towards, it's a co-housing situation, which is what many of the people that are accessing services through behavioral health are able to afford. So we work with them to get to a place where they're able to pay, you know, their lease independent of us.
And how do the, I take it this might be in residential areas, is that correct?
Yes.
And how does the residential area community where they're located, how do they respond to these?
With this particular house, I'm not aware of any issue we've ever had. We have had some issues come up with the diversion houses, and we've just worked with the community members. We you know, there's certain rules, right, for people that we're providing housing for. And so if it becomes problematic, then we move that individual into another setting, such as the village or someplace else where there's not an impact on the community. So we work individually with the community members if they raise any concerns, and then, you know, do what we can to mitigate any of those issues.
And if it can't be mitigated, does it go away?
Well, we move people out of that house into something like the village where there's different.
And so is it treated like, I guess, a bed and breakfast or a vacation rental?
No.
So there is no TOT to the city?
Oh, that question? No, there's no TOT. Okay. All right.
What is the location of this facility?
I don't have that offhand. I can certainly get that to you.
I would like to have that before I can get behind it.
Can I back up on that? The house is owned, correct, by an individual?
It's owned by an individual.
So there's property taxes paid?
Yes.
If that helps. And then...
But TOT is not.
No, but then these people lease it.
Yes.
There's a lease agreement.
There's different, we have different setups, but yes, this, I believe this is the house where people lease. They have individual leases with the property owner. And then if there's a gap, behavioral health pays that difference, right? If someone's not able to pay their entire rent, or if there's an empty bed, we really work, you know, there's a lot of people in need of housing, so it's not often that there's an empty bed, but.
So this is more like a rental, not short-term rental, like
exactly.
A B&B or...
It's long-term, and then we provide case management support, and, you know.
So it's not considered like Airbnb or short-term rental. This is an actual rental property.
Yes.
Okay. Does that help a little?
A little. I'm just curious if they're, you know, because
so
it's got budget in, so motel is what triggered for me.
Yes, exactly. And he owns this house.
Right. So that helped. The other thing is, how much per year out of this $406,000 over that you're increasing the compensation? Is that split up over the next, 3 years?
It goes through...
29.
Yeah.
So that's divided up, so it's about 125 a year that is offset on this, is that?
I believe this is increasing.
Or less, I'm sorry.
And so it's increasing above whatever we've paid, you know, previously as part of this contract.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I can assist.
Okay, thank you.
So, first of all, there are two homes.
Yeah.
The first one is 302 North Main Street in Wairika. It's considered the Hestia House, and then there's 515 North Main Street, which is the Birch House in Wairika. And then the cost associated for fiscal year 25-26, well, it looks like it's increasing from, in 22-23 was only 302 North Main. Then 515 North Main was added in 23-24. Mm-hmm. And so now it's $116,400 per year. And it breaks it down for the two properties. So one property is $56,400 a year. And the second property is $60,000 a year.
And actually, page two, the addendum at the very bottom below the signatures mm-hmm. has that breakdown as well.
Correct. And yeah. this was within the contract. I'm reading
in the contract.
In the Exhibit A.
And how many are housed in each location?
Six.
Six in each?
Five and six, I believe.
So 11. Okay. Okay. Thank
and
you.
And again, this is, you know, a cheaper option than the hotel, so we've really been working hard to move away from that, because I think, as I've shared here, we are paying up to $2,400 or $2,200 a month for a room, a single individual, so.
Understood. I guess my concern is, we've heard so much about having a housing shortage, and as this expands into residential areas, that's where I guess I'd be more concerned. When I saw the budget in and out, I was thinking motel, obviously, but knowing that it's a residential, I mean, I get where you're going with it, but it still gives me pause. So.
Understood.
So my issue is that just the increased compensation is almost worth the value of both of the homes combined. That's a lot of money for 2 3-bedroom, 2-bath facilities.
Correct. Angela Davis, County Administrator. Section 2, Item A, it breaks it down with the monthly rent for the 302 North Main Street at $5,500 per month. And the annual increase, which is before you today, is approximately 14.5%. And then the Birch House, which is the 515 North Main Street, it has a monthly rent of $5,800 a month. And so that annual increase is approximately 11.5% as well.
Yeah, that's
so. And we negotiated with the owners, and his, you know, his concerns are around utilities and mm-hmm. a lot of things that have gone up. That's
cheaper than assisted living.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're looking at 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes that are subpar in Wairika, I mean, these are ballooned figures. I mean, at the end of the day, it's taxpayer money, and I can't justify spending those kind of rates on 2 subpar small family homes. I mean, if it was a facility that was specifically designated and there was some form of care or something like that transpiring, but when it's just 2 homes right on the main drag of Wairika, I can't get behind it.
I certainly don't disagree with what it costs. It costs a lot, but what's the alternative? Put these people out on the street, where are they gonna go? You know, I think, you know, for me, the long-term answer is to increase the welfare of everyone in this county. We're a poor rural county, and again, reiterate, 56, 57, 58 out of metrics. Until we move that needle, we're gonna be stuck dealing with these kind of things. I don't know what the alternative is, but certainly not vote supporting this, as much as I hate spending that kind of money, taxpayer dollars, if you will. It's just going to cost us more on the other side of the equation.
I agree, and finding housing for the community members that DuVal serves is very challenging, right? And we try and are successful many times in getting people into market-based housing, but it's more often true than not that landlords are reluctant to rent to the clientele we serve, and that's just how it is. And so we have explored every option we can think of to get people into housing. Sure. We are now required under VHSA to spend a third of that money that we receive on housing. And this is the cheapest option. We have other options as well, right? I mean, Crossroads is cheaper for the people that are in the No Place Like Home units. But in terms of sort of this type of housing, we have not been successful in general in accessing housing in the community.
But at what point do we create a market for this and start taking away homes that could provide for, you know, the families could live in? If we have these exorbitant rates, how many more investors are going to come in and buy homes and plan to do things like this, and we create an unintended consequence? I would much rather see needy families with children living in these homes than pay these exorbitant rates and, you know, put people that are not contributing to society, they're not out there working. You know, that's the balance we have to look at. And I would much rather see the single mom with three kids living in one of these at a rate that she can afford versus paying this crazy amount of money and, you know, trying to get more investors in here that are going to try to do the same thing and absorb more money.
I would just add, Section 8 housing comes to mind. There's not enough suppliers for that. There's too many people on that list. The people who own the property have a right to do what they want to do. And if they're going to, you know, one of the issues down in South County is the exorbitant rents. We have no control over that. It's a market-based type thing. So your mom with three kids or whatever it is, she's up against it no matter what the deal is. Section 8 housing is oversold. We don't have enough vouchers, and there's not enough suppliers. And so there's a, I don't know, it's a few-year waiting list on that.
It's a several-year waiting list, and we have worked with landlords as well to try and increase the Section 8 housing, of, you know, units available in Siskiyou County, but it is a very limited resource.
And then the other piece to it, these are, cities are on their own, they're their own entity. They have their own up against it. We don't build houses. We may facilitate it somehow, some way. But I can get you a $1 million house built in South County. I can't get you some housing that I can afford. So again, I reiterate, as much as I don't like spending this kind of money, I think we need to move on and either say yay or nay and find avenues to make a difference in that sense.
So two things, and I hear what you're saying, and also Supervisor Harris, what you're saying. Section 8 housing, for those that want to participate in that, cannot, you know, there's not a... Section 8 housing can't meet the current rent levels. They have their own rent levels, and so that's why most people will not go down that path. It's substantially undervalued for what rents are. So that's why there isn't enough of that.
Yes.
Secondly, you have the new project that's going in Mount Shasta that's tax-free money, no payments or interest due over 50 years, and yet it's a $1 million project. That should be translating down to the rent. And we'll see how that flies, because that was free money, not, you know, a builder coming in and taking a loan out that they have to repay. We know that, so it'll be interesting to see how that flies. I'm going to go ahead and support this. I'll make the motion to approve, but I would like to give direction with that motion that I don't want to see us going into the private sector, into residential areas for commercial development. Our housing market is already thin. We need to be looking at, if it's a housing problem for a certain population, we actually should be building partnering with other counties in the north, the rural counties, to build a facility that can do exactly what you're after with this versus just tapping, you know, a resource that could be used for workforce housing.
So
I would move to approve.
Before you go there, mm-hmm. I'll come back.
Okay.
If there are two homes in Wairika that are suitable, I think it's these two because they're surrounded by commercial. You know, and it's not like we're, you know, in the middle of the housing areas, you know, where we get taken home away. The larger issue, I think we all share the concerns, mm-hmm. But that's not the decision before us today. The decision before us today is whether or not to proceed with continuing this residency contract that you currently have in these two homes. So I'll turn it back over to Supervisor Gossett.
So my motion is to approve with the caveat that Behavioral Health be looking at building a facility in the North State, partnering with other counties to provide for a population that they're looking for, so that it doesn't just start to infiltrate the thin market that we already have in housing.
No second.
Thank you.
Quick discussion. Supervisor Kopsoff, just on that point, Supervisor Organ, I believe you were down with, we were in legislative days, we met with Shasta County. County's wanting to partner for funding to do
just
exactly what you're talking about. But you've been at this long enough to know how bureaucracy works and how hard it is to get done. But we're on that path.
Yeah.
And we've been engaging with Shasta County and the other Superior Region counties around developing all kinds of levels of care. I think the challenge is, right, that we're mandated to keep people in their communities at the lowest level of care, right? So these are not people that if there was a facility built, we couldn't just move these folks into that facility because that would not be maintaining them at the lowest level of care in all likelihood, right? But to your earlier direction, I have been engaging in Shasta County around the beach trip program that they were not funded for, but they're continuing to explore their options, and we're supporting that effort.
We sent a support letter for that.
I mean, it goes back to even the 5150 housing that we talked about years ago, trying to have a regional spot.
Right.
We talk a lot. We pass stuff like this just to kick the can down a little further. I'm just saying I'm trying to give you, I guess, the message that, and to the group that you're dealing with, or whoever it may be, that, you know, my Board of Supervisors is fed up with just throwing money at this just to say, you know, we have no alternative. We have to find an alternative. The state of California has more money for non-citizens, that money for this type of stuff should be directed towards facilities that can actually be developed. And I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm trying to give you at least, you know, some momentum that when you go into these meetings that, you know, the talk is done.
Yes.
You know, the counties are strapped. And the communities are strapped, and we need, you know, working workforce housing, not just this makeshift.
Well, thank you.
So I'll leave it at that.
I gotta add one more thing. I think the issue, at least my part, is the people that typically go into these places are getting something for nothing. And so I was, in my past in Florida, when I worked down there, I was involved with putting together with an NGO a facility down there for homeless. But there were two conditions of going into it. First was, you're going to enter a drug program, and you're going to learn a trade. And if you weren't willing to commit to both, you couldn't go there. And when you came out, and you were fully trained, you were certified drug-free, and you were certified in a trade to go to work. That's very successful. It started out with less than 10 clients, and today it's over 75 in that facility. It's very successful. And until we institute something like that associated with these housing areas, we will never get these people off the street.
I think there is discussion at the federal level of instituting those requirements. I mean, we are functioning under Housing First, right? So our hands are tied with regard to requiring anything of the people that are coming into the majority of our programs. But there is talk of adding requirements to housing. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, and basically we're actually rehabbed and hireable. When it came out, so that seems to work. Until we do something like that, I just think all this stuff is just a giveaway, and it's just an enabling behavior on the point of the state. So, with that, I have a motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Oberon?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
No.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
6A, OES. Good morning.
Good morning, Board Supervisor Brian Schneider, Director of Emergency Services. Before you is the request for the local emergency for the drought. I would like to continue that. Not much has changed. It's 10% change from last month. Mm-hmm. And the new drought report will come out tomorrow.
Do we have any new information, Supervisor Kopsev, from that group of them?
No.
No? Okay.
Other than they want to they need this extended.
Okay, I just wonder what.
So, or move to approve or extend whatever we're doing.
Second.
Just a quick discussion. I see where the map, when I see it on the news, it's obviously affecting us, but it's more predominant in Oregon at the moment, but I have no doubt that it's going to extend south.
Yeah.
100%. I think we have a motion.
Second, Wendy.
Did we have a second?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill.
Aye. 7A, emergency declaration on wolves. Morning, Joanne.
Morning, Joanne Johnson, project coordinator for county administration. So in 2026, we're at 36 confirmed depredations and 6 probable depredations. Staff recommends extending the local emergency.
Questions on the board?
Extending, yeah. Move, but I got a question as well. But I'll motion to extend.
Second.
In the new count that you have there, is the, I'll call it the discrepancy of this 9 that have been moved from confirmed to denied, is that subtracted out of that, or is it still in there? What?
No, so that is, county is going to provide more information on those depredation reports. So the California Department of Fish and Wildlife has not finalized their determination on those investigations.
Okay.
So they are going to send our county council a list of those depredation numbers. And staff is going to have the opportunity to go back and add information and resubmit those.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Real quick on that, just on the subject of wolves. So I was at a Friday meeting with Congressman Huffman with a bunch of people from the ag community, very interested in what they're dealing with predominantly wolves. So just wanted, it's on his radar.
So I had a conversation with Congressman Gallagher also last Thursday. Former Congressman LaMotha was the lead on delisting on the federal level. Unfortunately, with his passing, that ball dropped. And I know from Senator Lee's office and from Congressman Bence's office, they're looking for, I'll call it the cheerleader. And so I've encouraged Congressman Gallagher to pick up that ball and run with it because we need to do this thing on the federal level.
So I will say this, Congressman Huffman did mention about, he goes, he thinks that will happen in time.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And I did mention about Congressman Bess. He says he does have a good working relationship with him.
Good.
So, other than rules, there's another subject we can talk about later.
Yeah.
Think water, think up in the basement, but,
So just an FYI, Sam Dorsey was carrying that for Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Sam is currently working for Congressman Hagee.
I'm sorry, who?
Sam Dorsey was working for Doug on that issue.
Right.
He's currently working as staff for Congressman Hagee in Wyoming.
Okay, good.
Ready for a vote?
Yes, ma'am.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor.
Aye. With that, we are going to close the session. First,